The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
So here we go. We're going to read out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 36. And we're still on the series of tough sayings of Jesus. And how many of you know that it is hard to follow Jesus? Some of you, hopefully all of you that have read scripture, some of his sayings are tough, man. They're hard. Some of you teens say, what is he saying? Some of us older folks think we know it all and we don't. It's hard following Jesus, but he made it clear it wasn't going to be easy. But there's a better place we're going to through all of it. That should be your main focus through all your journey, following God and coming to church and living your lives before God and living for Jesus, young or old or middle-aged. I'm trying to cover everyone this morning. I fall in the older age now. I'll be hitting 50 here next week. Pray for me. I would like to pray first. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious morning. We thank you for life and the air that you give us, the food and creation you give us, the trees, the mountains, everything, God, we have and are sustained because of you. You give us life and a good one, Lord. We thank you for all that you have brought us through. We thank you for leaving us the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Speak to us today, this morning, God. Humble us, convict us. Holy Spirit, fill this room and have your way with us this morning through your spirit, through your love, and through your word. In Jesus' name, and people said, amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 through 36. I was being brave, but I can't see it. Let me get my super cool glasses out again. Again, I'm almost 50, so forgive me. Here we go. Matthew chapter 10, I'm reading out of an NIV. It reads like this: whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Wow. That's hard, huh? Just from the surface that we read, it's saying a lot about our homes and our personal lives with our own family, isn't it? Woo! That's a tough one. And it's going to be very tough what I need to say this morning, but it's coming out. So brace your chair, fix yourself really good. Some of you might want to have to cover your ears because I'll get loud. And Jesus made it clear, and I call this series, this topic, I don't come in peace. What do you mean, Jesus? Yeah, he made it clear, I don't come in peace. What did he say I'm bringing? What did he say? A sword. What? I have a good friend in this room that she explained to me that she's seen swords. Some are almost 5 feet tall, probably weigh 50 pounds back in those days. And all you can do is ready to lunge it and tear your enemy down. But that's not the sword Jesus is talking about. And we're going to get into it and find out what it's all about, this sword Jesus talks about here in Matthew. So I do not come in peace, Jesus said. And today we do live in a world of war and violence. Saddam Hussein caused much war and destruction for at least 15 years in America and other parts of the world. There's violence still today. In Jerusalem, the Jews in the Arab still raging war. In the Sudan, in Africa, Christians and Muslims killing each other by the thousands right now. Still killing each other. And it's not only global violence, it's also local violence. Domestic abuse is rampant in our homes especially. Members of the clergy are accused of horrific acts against children and young people. Kidnappings are a daily occurrence in our news. Evil and war, just constant. You know, the word murder in the Ten Commandments, Jesus or God said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. There's a difference between murder and killing. And I did not know that. Some Bibles, King James, will say kill as well. But the Hebrew or Greek word for murder is ratash, which means you want to shred that person, man. You want to shred them. We want to murder you. And murder also means premeditated. That person has thought about what they're going to do to harm that other person. And kill doesn't mean that. When humanity brought Christ to the cross, we killed him. When God had to kill an animal to make clothing for Adam and Eve, that's another word. Not murder, it's kill. And that word in the Greek Hebrew is pronounced thuo. Thuo means to mean sacrifice. See, Jesus was killed. He was sacrificed on the cross for our sins. God had to sacrifice some animals to make clothing for Adam and Eve. So there's a difference. Someone breaks into your house, the law says you can shoot them if they're in your home to take them down to protect your home. It's a sacrifice. We kill animals to eat. It's a sacrifice because we need to live to eat, and we eat some of the animals God created us for to eat. So there's a difference. Let's not get it confused. Murder and killing are two different things. And in all this, what's happening? Where is Jesus? Where is this King of Peace? Some of our homes are all tore up, man. We're tore up. Where is this King of Peace? Jesus said, I come and bring peace. No, he didn't. Not right here. He said, I bring a sword. I don't come in peace. What did he mean by this? Jesus seems to be saying, I am not the source of peace. I'm sorry. I am the source of division. What? You mean I'm serving God, I'm being a Christian, following Jesus, so I can be all divided? Yes. And we'll get to that. It's pretty confusing. That's pretty tough. So is Jesus an agent of peace? Is there a contradiction here in the Bible? Is there a mistake here? I can't even go far to say, is Jesus a liar? Because he said he was peace. And here he's telling us he's bringing a sword. He's not bringing peace. That verse sticks out for me. There's a lot of that going on in our homes. And it's going to be tough following Jesus. This is not in my notes, but I know some of you personally that are in this room that came to me personally on a different time alone and cried and said, Frank, I've become a Christian. My family has disowned me and kicked them to the curb and rejected them, their own children or marriage or partner. And some of them are here now, whole families. God did it. And I would tell them, I always tell you guys, don't give up. Let God handle it. You keep trusting Jesus. And that's the sword he's talking about. I found some scriptures that point directly to Jesus as being the Prince of Peace. Look at Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of what? Huh? Peace. Huh? I was really digging into this stuff, saying, wait a minute. He's bringing the sword, but he's the King of Peace. It doesn't stop there. Luke 1:7-9, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of what? Peace. There it is again. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the who? Peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Matthew 5:39. But I will tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. There's another act of peace. What is Jesus trying to tell us then? Remember Peter in the garden when they're going to arrest him? Matthew 26:52. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said. Put it back. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Wait a minute. This is a contradiction here. Isn't it? I was confused all week. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to say? What am I going to say? How am I going to explain it to them? You know what, people, friends? I wasn't even sure all week if this is the message God wanted me to speak about division and not bringing peace and talking about a sword that Jesus is trying to explain here. So this morning I sat there early and I prayed and I sought God and I meditated and I sat on my kitchen table. My radio's on always to the Christian station and I have music going all the time and I'm sitting there and there's this pastor that plays every morning, Dr. Vernon McGee. He's on at 8 every morning and I'm sitting there praying and guess what he's talking about in the same text about division and the sword, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And this morning, gentlemen and people, we're going to talk about Matthew 10, 32. I'm like, what? We're going to talk about the sword and division. Yes. Thank you, God. But he let me sweat it out all week, folks. You got to seek God. And he will answer you through a radio even. Through other people. Through situations. Through a song. Through your boss. Through a sister. It's going to be weird. Even through your animals. I had dogs. Remember the dog I told you I had? I had a white boxer pit bull and I had neighbors and prior that cussed and partied right next door. And my dog would bark every time they were effing away. And they would kind of simmer down and then they start effing away and start barking. I had a Christian dog. He's in heaven now too with my wife. It's funny that my wife passed away from cancer, and he was dying with cancer too. So I put him down a few days later after she passed. So they're together in heaven waiting for me. Amen. I believe it. Your loved ones are waiting for you. But what are you living for now? Are you willing to pick up that sword? Are you willing to just hang in there for that family member, that boss, that friend, your relationship that could be in shambles between whoever? Your husband, your wife, your dad, your mom, your colleagues. You can stick it out and God will show you. So what did Jesus mean here? I did not bring peace but a sword. The word peace is a Greek word pronounced irene. Irene, which means peace of mind. Everything's going to be okay. Good health, good welfare, state of national tranquility. Exemption from the rage and havoc of war. That's the word Jesus used here in this context in verse 34. I do not bring peace, irene, but I bring a sword. Look at the word sword. This is the one I want to get to. The word sword in the Greek is pronounced makairicha. Makairicha. Somewhere's in there. I can't even pronounce it. Makahira. There it is. Makahira. I bring a makahira. I don't mean a macarena, so don't get confused. Some of you that still break dance and stuff. Not the Macarena. Get away from that. That's not good. That's worldly. Don't be doing that no more. Well, we shouldn't. Not Macarena. Macarija. You know what this word means? It's not that big sword. It's a smaller sword. It's a slaughter knife, a short sword used for stabbing or slaughtering to cause a slow death. An instrument of war used to cause more damage. I like this one. Used for quarrels and dissensions that destroy peace. Can you imagine if I walked up to you one day and we saw each other and I pulled up a sword? Hey, what's up? You'd be, hey, what's all that about? Pulling out swords on me? I'm glad you're a pastor. I don't care. I'll still use it. No, I'm kidding. Those are the words Jesus used. So what's my first point? What is this sword Jesus is talking about? Well, the first one is the peace Jesus brings is not social or political. The peace Jesus brings to the earth is not it's not external, it's internal. Jesus' mission does not include political and social reform. See, people thought that Jesus came into the world to bring peace to the Jews in context, talking about at that moment when Jesus was around. They wanted a war hero, a Messiah that would take their bondage away from the Jews and the Israelites. They didn't get it. That's not the peace Jesus was bringing. And it even goes on to say, Jesus warned his audience in Matthew 24:6. It says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still not come. He's already telling, look, there's still going to be some things going on. There's going to be some battles to fight as countries for freedom and stuff. That's not the peace I'm bringing. See, the Jews, when they saw him riding on the donkey, Hosanna, Hosanna, we got a Savior. They were looking for some war hero Messiah to scoot out Roman government and Roman rule, and the Israelites can have some peace and tranquility, and they can call the shots. You know what Jesus is saying? Sorry, folks. I didn't come here to save you from the Romans. That's not the peace I bring. You see, that's why being a Christian's not easy, and it's not going to be easy. But where's your passion and desire to continue in it? Fighting the good fight with the sword of the Spirit. The Bible is called the sword of the Spirit. This is the sword we need to be using. Words that are in here for our defense and our walk with Jesus. The Jews wanted political and social freedom. The Israelites had it wrong. They wanted a president, so to speak, that was going to give them freedom and kick the Romans out. Nuh-uh. That's not what he was talking about. Jesus came to give another type of freedom. See, people in the world today believe that Jesus' mission was to come and give peace on earth. When have you guys heard of there's not a war? There's always been wars from Adam and Eve. It started with the two brothers when one killed the other. Satan is smart. He'll use our loved ones against us at times. And we chew each other up. War has always been around. Did you know that Iran right now has enough bombing material to take Israel out? They say, we're ready. We're going to take Israel out. The Jews are done. God's people, they're going to be wiped out. But they don't know the God they serve. Iran think they're going to win. Whatever enemy comes against Israel, it's not, they're going to try. But for us folks that are still alive, and when these evil days come and you hear these wars in Israel and it escalates here and we think Israel's done, that's when Jesus comes back. They think they're going to win the war, the enemies of God. It looks like they are. And you know what? I hate to say this, and I'll leap out a little bit, and it's not even in my notes, but the world is winning the war in our homes because we're following the culture. We're doing what the Joneses are doing. Okay, they're getting a divorce. We're getting a divorce. Oh, they bought that car. We'll buy this car. On and on and on. We're forgetting God's word. There's it's also not in my notes. I'm going all over the place this morning. But somewhere, I believe it's in the Psalms. I'm paraphrasing here. It says, it's better to have beans and rice than a carne asada. You know why I say that? How many of you, raise your hand real quick, if you've been to those big elegant or backyard parties where you have meat and the party's happening? I've been there. What happens at most of those events? Someone gets drunk or someone gets violent, or if there's not even drinking, someone in the family gets mad and leaves. But when you have a little bit, like I've always said, some beans and rice and Jesus Christ, it's all good. Keeps you humble. It's kept me humble for some years. Besides, I love beans and rice. And by the way, I didn't have beans today, so you're good. Some of you got that. Jesus brings a different kind of peace. And you know why? You know what our world has tried and still trying? They're trying to push Jesus into the political realm. And they won't succeed. Because Jesus was not a politician. He was Lord. Jesus is Lord. Was and is to be. We're always trying to push him in the front of the political and social lifestyles and cultures. No. He's Lord, period. But is he Lord of your life? Are you living your life as him, Lord of your life? And if you're in this room this morning, if you've never received Jesus in your heart, you're in a dangerous place, my friend. That day's going to come. That end's going to come one day. Because clearly, I'll break this down. God said, in the beginning, he created, right? If there's a beginning, there's an end. A movie has a start and an end. It's in the Bible. The world's going to end one day. This is all going to be wrapped up one day. And if you're coming against and being afflicted, attacked, because you're following God, that's a good thing. If you're struggling but not giving up and fighting that good fight, it's a good thing. The Holy Spirit is there guiding us. Second point is the peace Jesus brings will cause division. I just showed you text verse 35. It's not up there, but it's in verse 35. A mom and a daughter hating each other. How many years has that been going on? A son. We got teenagers killing parents and going into schools, wiping innocent people out. That's murder. You know, and as I thought about everything I was writing here and meditating into teaching this Sunday, I thought for a second, you know what? It was so cool back in the days when I was young. That was a long time ago. But it wasn't like this. Then I thought about my mom and my dad, of course, not in heaven as well. When they were young, the stories they've told me, they sounded even more peaceful. And they would sit down and I always ask them questions how their days were back in the, I won't say mom, back in the way days. Way, 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 way back when. They said it was even more peaceful, more calm. In our reality, friends, it never has. The violence, the wars were always there. They were just not so predominant, so out in your face like today. When I was in high school, you never heard of a kid going into a theater wiping people out. I never heard of drugs when I was a young boy. I didn't even know what marijuana was. I heard of the word, but there's so many drugs out there now for kids. Pills and liquids and all kinds of stuff for them to consume right there. It's never ended. It's just escalating, folks. Try to get it. Evil is escalating. Grace is too. People are coming to Christ. Where there's evil, there's more grace, God says. The churches are moving. People are coming to church, giving their lives to Christ for whatever reason. But evil is just escalating. It's in your face now. I can't even get on the internet to look for some scripture or something to talk about or whatever. There's some kind of pop-up of a woman or alcohol. Even sports on a Monday night. I used to watch it on my laptop at times. And the first thing I clicked to watch a game, there was some girl there or alcohol or something. That's evil. It will not stop. It will not leave us alone. But if you're in the Word, you will be predominant. You will prevail. This is our only source, our only strength, our only shield, our sword. This is the sword we should be using as Christians. And when we look back in the Gospels, there's always been war over the Bible. Folks, think for a second. Some of you that have probably studied a little as well. Take the Bible away from the beginning of time. What kind of wars and battles will we have? I've thought about that. There probably wouldn't be many. Because there's so much religious battles. As far as physical, there's spiritual religious battles against who's the better church or who's the better whatever. That doesn't matter. It matters where you're going to end up and how you live for Jesus. Did you fight that good fight? Did you pick up your sword and fight? Amen? And you know what? The Romans got tired of hearing the Jews and these other religions fighting about Jesus. The Romans got so sick of it. Some of you don't know this, but I studied it, and some of you know this as well. The Roman governors in power back then got so tired of the Christians, they started crucifying them by the thousands alive. It didn't stop there, since the Romans ruled you for them. Yeah, they owned the roads. They would crucify these Christians down their roads. Guess what their lighting was? You know when you go to San Diego, there's light poles? They were lighting the Christians on fire so they can see their roadways. That's how sick and tired they got of hearing of this Jesus and these Christians. So they crucified them and burned them at night so they can get by through their city. That's how bad it was then. We don't see that now, but there's different kind of battles in our lives right now. Battles for your marriages, battles for a job, battles for relationships, your children, whatever it might be, you're in a battle. How are you fighting it? On your own? I've never seen a platoon of soldiers go, Captain, I got it. I'm going alone to Iran. I'll wipe them all out. No. They sent legions. See, we're a group of people here. God knew you'd be here this morning to hear this. We need to work with each other. Talk with each other. Share with each other. That's where your strength comes. I'm going to be bold to say this, that some of you come and walk out of here and probably talk to no one. And it's so easy to say, because I was at another church at one time and my wife always thought that, honey, no one talks to us. Well, let's go talk to them. What are you? A queen or a king that you need the red carpet for us to come? Oh, welcome. We should, as leaders. I try to greet all of you. But I want to show Christ and greet you. But some of you go greet someone you don't know. Share something. Tell them to pray something that no one else is praying for. And if they don't, I will. Come hit me up. I got a list at the house. Some of your prayers have been answered by talking with you. I've seen some of the prayers answered that I have shared that no one needs to know about. But God knows. You're in church here today for a reason. God brought you here to Remnant for a reason. And not just this morning, but that you've been coming. God's sharpening you up. Why do you sharpen up a knife at home when you're going to cook? To cut meat and make it work. If you're not coming to church to get sharpened up in God's word, you're going to leave here dull. You're going to have some issues. You're going to get in a battle and you're going to use the wrong knife. It's going to be dull. You're just going to hurt them. See what I mean? The Bible says iron sharpens iron. We're here to sharpen each other, brothers and sisters. Do we really love each other now? You feel the love in the air? I do. It's an ugly sword. It was a tough saying Jesus used. I bring a sword. But the people didn't understand. Families are divided because of Jesus. And we can use some hurtful words. And I found some scripture of where some of these words come from. Some of these words are pretty harsh. Proverbs 12:18. Look what it says. Reckless words pierce like a what? A sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. We have a choice. We have a choice. Our country's better than your country. Those are battles going on. Oh, no, we're not making nuclear weapons. Yes, they are. All kinds of words coming out that hurt and cause damage. We do that. And where does it come from? Secular, the world. The world will teach you to lie and cheat. Because I was a lie and a cheat. Not that I'm perfect now. When I was with my wife, I cheated and lied to her all the time before Christ. And to my ex as well. I didn't have Christ. I didn't have the proper sword. I was using my own sword and tearing people down and doing whatever I wanted and hurting whoever I didn't care about. I didn't care that I hurt people. My mom's here. She'll tell you. I didn't even care that I hurt them. I've told you before and she'll tell you today. My parents were going to divorce because of me and my drug lifestyle and my evil acts. It happens. We're evil. Here's another one. Psalms 64:3. They sharpen their tongues like swords and they aim their words like deadly weapons. We do that. Sometimes you're somewhere and you see them from far. Ooh, I can't wait till they get right here. You know what? I'm not even going to wait. I'm going to go over there. Right? Right? Come here, girl. Come here. Break out your little sword. And the other person hasn't even had their coffee. Like, what? What are you talking about? The other person's stabbing away, man. That's why it's short. It's to damage and let that person suffer and die. And we're all guilty. I'm guilty. Don't think I'm Mr. Holy Rolly up here. I have used the wrong words, but I have repented and came to that person. Said, man, I said the wrong thing. Can you forgive me? You know what? I shouldn't have said that. Can we make this right? And if you don't want to forgive me, it's okay. You're still forgiven and run. A lot of times they won't forgive you. Stay like in running stance. And you know what I mean? Some of you know. You know, when I became a Christian the first year into it, I was working at a liquor store with my wife and I would just clean and stock beer. that, God moved me from there. And I prayed to move me, and he moved me to another job. Long story short, I'm cleaning the window outside the front door, and through the reflection, I see one of my enemies from back in the days from another gang, and he was huge. It's like, I don't know, Godzilla, he's coming. And I'm seeing, and I go, I know I have to stand to open the door at least for him. He's going to see me. And sure enough, I stand up, and I open the door, and he called me by my street name. He's put his big arm on my back. He goes, hey, Kile, how you doing? That's what was my street name. I'm like, oh, I took a sigh. I'm good. He goes, you look different. I go, yeah, I'm serving Christ. And I put my head. I was just waiting for this guy to clobber me because we had a bad past. We always fought, me and him. And he hugs me like a little kid. He picks me up. Me too, brother. I'm like, yeah. My hand, my feet are dangling. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And he starts crying. He gives me his testimony in a minute. And I give him mine. And it was awesome. See, God does those things. Your enemies can, God will make him your friends. And if he doesn't, like I said earlier, he'll move them out of your way. I left a lot of gang enemies. And I see some of them, I wave at them. Some of them don't. But God's moved them out of my way. The Bible says he'll even blind them. Don't use this for a speeding ticket. When you're speeding, say, block the highway patrol's eyes. Make them blind, Lord. No. It's not going to work because I got a speeding ticket a while back. It didn't work. If you use prayers directly and properly before God, properly, he will answer. Sometimes like this, and sometimes it takes years. Sometimes like this, and sometimes it takes years. Amen? But you need to be using the sword of the Spirit. This is our sword of the Spirit. Peter took out the wrong sword in the garden. Jesus said, no. That's not how you love people. I know what I need to do. You're doing the wrong thing. Put it away. I got this. Because some of us think, oh, I got this. Shh, take out your 40-pound sword. I'm going to cut this person in half. They get in my path. No. Jesus is saying, this sword. Be humble. You want your family to be at peace? Get into God's word. You want your children to grow up in Christ? Live it before them. Show them you want to serve God, and they'll want to serve God. My two teenage daughters, well, now they're in their 20s, are not here, but they still remember everything I've taught them in God's word. They'll text me. One lives in El Paso. She says that every day I run into someone, a scripture, a song, but it's God, not me. I just wanted to instill it in them. Even if they walk away, when your children leave and walk away from God, God is never going to let them go either. Even more so if you're praying for them with the sword of the Spirit. Because some of us will dwindle away. God will never let you go. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You received me in your heart. I'm always going to be where you're at. Amen? James 3:8. Did I put that one up there? But no man can tame the tongue. That's why we struggle. It's right here. Look. We have a hard time with our tongue. Right there. I want everyone to see it. Can you see it over there? I want to make sure. I think Jacob can see it over there. It's restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. Ooh, we're some bad people, huh? We can be like that right there. I used to curse people, tell them to their face what I thought about their mom and dad. Evil, man. How proudful. Men. The world wants us to be tough and yell at your wife and do what you say goes. That's not God's view. Yes, you're the leader of your house, but you're to love her and care for her and your children and your home. Jerry, one day I want to speak to the men like you did. It's much needed. I know I need it. I love, again, when Jerry did one night. He spoke to just men, and man, I was crying. But I was thankful because I was like 80% there. The things I did with my wife when she was here. Because we're not perfect, but you can get a good rating with this word, with this sword. Husbands, love your wives, man. We serve a good God. I know couples that the woman's a Christian and the man isn't, and the man's so good to her. He doesn't even believe in Christ. Personally, I know these people. And in my mind, I said, gosh, Lord, if he loved Jesus, how much better would his marriage be? Not perfect, because we're all going to fight. You're going to disagree. You're going to get the pans out once in a while. I'm kidding. Guys, you can fight, but stay in the borders like a tennis match. I've told you. Fight clean. Serve clean. Don't serve it. I'm not going to hit it. Serve it again. I'm not going to hit it. It's like the silent treatment. You did this the other day. Come on, say something. Silent treatment. Come on, play back. Just don't bring up anybody else. Because it's deadly poison. That's what God calls, not me. It's right there. That's what God calls our tongue. We're attacking and killing people with our mouths. Amen? Some of you have been ridiculed, called an outcast. Your friends don't understand. Huh? What do you mean you're going to church? Dude, let's go to the park. Skateboard. That was my skateboard name. That was a jump, actually. I did a triple jump. I don't even know the language, whatever it is. Triple spin, what do you call it, in the air? They don't even skate. I'm kidding. People ain't going to understand you. My mom and my sister are here again. When I first got saved 13 years ago, they didn't understand. I can see it in their face. And some of them were even saying he's lost it. He used so much drugs, he's lost it. And I hope they're not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. It's a profession of what Jesus does. It's a confession for me right now before them. I knew they didn't understand. They said, my mom would say, oh, mijo lost it. It's okay, he's following God, but I don't know. Can God change him? Change me, Mom. Love you, Mom. You too, Mary. But they didn't understand. But look where they're at. Have other sisters and brother-in-laws come in here? They didn't understand. They really thought I lost it. For a minute, I thought I did too. I never told my mom this story. I was like 6 months into my walk. I lived in Brawley. And the pastor said, go give out flyers that week down my street there. I went 3 blocks. And I'm handing flyers, and my dad comes up and sees me on the street, walking by myself with all these flyers. I was a baby Christian. He goes, son, what are you doing? Get in the car, I'll take you home. No, Dad, you don't understand. This is what came out, and it was scripture. I'm about my father's business. My dad's like, huh? I'll see you later. I remember what Jesus said. When they found them, the 12, you remember, they couldn't find them, and they mom and dad found them. What are you doing, son? I'm about my father's business. People ain't going to understand, and who cares? You keep living for Jesus. You keep using this sword, and you'll see those lives change. Not like this sometimes. Like I said, it's going to be a process. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, folks. And why does God do that? Because he's sharpening you. He's testing you. See if you're real. If you really want to serve him and follow him and suffer. We are going to struggle in this world. It's never going to be easy until we get into eternal life. This world is full of evil. It's going to escalate. Wars are going to get worse. But we need to stay faithful and learn that we don't serve a political Jesus. We serve a Lord Jesus. Amen? We serve a good God no matter how bad the circumstances look. He will see you through it. I didn't see my parting of the Red Sea for a while. But little by little, God has me on this journey. And I'm still going. And my feet still haven't got full of mud. And I still haven't got stuck in that mud. And Christ just kind of keeps pushing me on. The Holy Spirit's prompting us and moving us. Because once you stop and you turn around and you start using that poison, you're going to have a battle. You're going to have a war. And of course, yes, your family, your life, your relationships are going to fall apart. They will be in shambles. Let's speak. Let's think proper. Let's think God's word. Use God's word. Meditate. Seek. I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough. Jesus' peace brings division. And lastly, I need to finish here. Lastly, the peace Jesus brings is spiritual peace. This is where he was trying to get to. Not a political government war hero messiah. Not someone that's going to fix our homes. No, your home will not be fixed. Or your relationships will not be fixed until you use this sword and you live for Jesus and you get plugged into a church and some type of midweek service. Not that it'll do miracles, but you're gathering to grow and learn. You can't go weeks and then come back later and expect everything's going to be dandy-dandy. God's following you, but you got to stay plugged in. In Hebrews, I can't remember the text right now. It says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. That means you got to be in church, man. How else are you going to grow and learn and hear testimonies and see other families or lives change before your eyes? I'm a miracle before my mom's eyes because she knows my life. She knew my dark, evil life I led, and she cried many tears before God because she told me so. And now she's seen the miracles God does and will do in yours and in your relationships and in your situations. See, the peace Jesus was talking and alluding to was a spiritual peace. He says, I don't bring social or political peace. I bring an internal peace. See, there's that peace. The same word he used here, peace, is reine. You will have tranquility, good health, good welfare inside. No matter what comes at you, you have the peace. Now, after studying this, I can answer people when they say, Frank, how is it you're still smiling and your wife's passed away a year now and your smile never left you? I have irene. I have irene. They're like, oh, that's right. I got all spiritual here and I'm all Greek into you. I got the peace of Jesus. That's all I tell people. I got Jesus. It's Jesus' smile. It's, my life is Jesus. My passion is Jesus. My job is Jesus. My talking to you is Jesus. Irene. I have bills. Sometimes I don't make one here and there. I have irene. Somehow you'll work it out. He gives us that inner peace. But until you're there, folks, you're going to struggle. You're going to take out that dull sword, leave here dull, and have some vicious battles in your hands and wonder what's going on in my life or why are they acting that way. It ain't them. It ain't them. Because when you point, it's you. Look at three para atrás. You're going to learn Spanish, remember? Three back at you, brother, sister. Three back at you. You're three times worse. So it's better, you know what? You better stick to irene. Para atrás means three back at you. Don't forget that one. I'm going to test you next time I speak. That's the peace Jesus was talking about. Families who are divided because of harsh words and exchange will always bring division. It always will. But the peace Jesus is talking about is irene. We need that peace. Because we're at war with God, guys. All of us right now, internally, you're in a battle. Why? Because sin dwells in us. We're in a fight with God sometimes. I got tired fighting God. Remember Jacob? He wrestled with God. He got a new name and a new walk. Thanks, God. That's how he walked. He messed up his hips somehow, but he came out a powerful man. He came out more passionate. And did he face trials? Absolutely. We don't live in a world of peace. We never will till the King of Peace comes back to take us to that eternal peace. My wife is an eternal peace. My pops is an eternal peace. Some of your loved ones are an eternal peace, looking down saying, oh man, they better stick to the irene because the other place is hot. Colossians 1:20. Why are we at battle with God? Because of sin. And through him, Colossians 1:20, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood on the cross. The shed blood of Jesus is the only thing that brings us to God. He paid it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing. He died. He paid a big price. Is it going to cost you to be a Christian? Yes. It's going to be tough. And that's a tough saying, Jesus is saying. But use my sword, he says. Be passionate about me. I've done it already. I've paid the price. Just live for me. Follow me. Go to Remnant. Go somewhere and stay plugged in. Sin is what divides us from God. See, it's the illusion of the cross. I'm going to the cross to bring peace with God. See, we need to be at peace with God. We'll always have external issues, problems, situations we face. But if you have that eternal peace, God will bring it. And you'll be okay. It will be okay. He promises it. I don't. I want to close with this last scripture here. Christ is saying, I don't come to bring peace. I bring a sword. Mark 8, 34-35 says this. And he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Folks, right now is the time. Today, right now, is to give your life to Jesus. And understand that there is a peace he'll give you internally. Irene. I want to instill that in you so all week you can be a Bible scholar to whoever you hang out with and say, I know a Greek word, it means irene, and you don't know what it means. And then you can explain the gospel. What is irene, they're going to ask you? Well, let me tell you. It's about the peace of Jesus. This man came, died on the cross for my sins and yours. You're a sinner and I'm not. No, I'm kidding. And we need this inner peace. And he gives you this peace, guys. I sleep good at night, thank God. I snore. And I face some struggles, personal issues within me. But I still got that peace. I can still sleep at night. I don't live a perfect life, but I have irene, eternal peace. And you can have that this morning. You can have an eternal peace. Your situation can change in your house. Your relationship can change, take a turn. But it's going to take one of you to do the work, and God does the rest for you. If the worship team will come up, please. Right now is the time, folks. Let's stop using that other sword we're so good with. That dull one. That's carnal. That'll tear people down. You're staining Jesus. When you're cursing someone or just verbally attacking each other, you're hurting Christ, no one else. We stain him and his name. And we're Christians. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you've never received Jesus Christ in your heart, right now, today's the day. All you got to say is, Jesus, come into my heart. We're not going to make you. We're a different church. I love it here. Because we're not going to make you come up, do some jumping jacks, whatever other churches do. It's you and him. You and Jesus. You just got to say, Jesus, I don't know you. My life's a mess. My marriage needs work. My home's in shambles. Lord, I really want that job. But come into my heart. Can you really make it happen? You know what, folks? I challenge you. Tell God, can you really do this? Do it. I dare you. It'll be good. Trust me. Because I told God in my drug lifestyle of 22 years, bounded and struggling and all messed up in my life, lost and hurting my family, all jacked up, said, God, if you're real, change me. That's the only way he's going to hear your cry. If you're real. If you're real. If you want it. Do you want it? Do you really want to use this sword or your own? God loves you beyond it I can use words for. But you got to be broken. You got to say, God, I surrender. This is it. Okay, you win. If you're real, change it. If you're real, make it happen. If you're real, change it, God. That's what it's going to take. My brother-in-law is right here in front of me. We cried together for his marriage, and they're so in love again. And it brings tears to my eyes. Because God did it. They're a miracle. You're a miracle. Your situation can turn into a miracle. But you got to surrender to God. You got to put that other sword down and pick this one up. Even when it hurts, even when it feels heavy, pick it up. And eat it. Live it. This is what keeps me going, folks. This is what keeps Jerry and Jeremiah going. This is what keeps their marriages tight. Without this, you won't be tight. You'll be using the wrong sword, and you will hurt people constantly. Stand with me, please, and we'll pray.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You